Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I trust that it'll encourage you and build your faith. If you'd like to connect with me further, visit my website at revivalnow.com. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at RevivalNowDanSteep and Twitter at RevivalNowDan. You can also download the Revival Now app. Enjoy the podcast and share it with a friend. Welcome to this episode of the Dan Steep Podcast. I'm Dan Steep, and we're going to be talking about training your spirit, how to train your spirit. What do we mean by that, training your spirit? So the Bible tells us that we're born with a spirit, a soul, and a body. And when you're born again, the part of you that is regenerated or born again is your spirit. That's the part that's been brought to life. Separate from the soul, which is comprised of the mind, the will, and the emotions, and of course, the body. And the goal in your Christian life is to develop and train your spirit. What's happened over the years of your life before you were born again is that the soul and the body dominated everything. Mind, will, emotions, and physical appetite and desires. And the spirit was sort of like slumbering, if you will. Then you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again, your spirit is regenerated and brought to life. And now, one of the challenges is then to begin to train your spirit to develop and grow so that the soul and the body come into subjection to the spirit, which is the renewed, born-again part of your life. And the scripture tells us that God is spirit, and this is John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, something that'll really help you when you're trying to understand this scripture in John 4:24 is just take a moment and understand the word worship. The word worship is more than just going to church on Sunday morning or singing songs. In actuality, in the believer's life, your whole life and lifestyle is an act of worship unto God. In fact, the first time that the word worship is used in the Bible was back in Genesis when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, and he told his servants to stay there, and he and the boy were going to go on up further and worship. So worship was a sacrifice. It was an offering. It's so much more than just singing some songs in a church service on Sunday. So God is spirit, and we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you're born again, your spirit is renewed, and God is spirit, and so he communicates and communes with us spirit to spirit. So just as the mind and the body can be trained, and we know that many people have dedicated their lives to doing that thing, the training of the mind, the training of the body. When you think about sports and athletes, there are sports psychologists that work on training the mind. And then, of course, physical trainers that work on training the body. Well, the spirit can be trained also. God communicates with our spirit, not our reasoning faculties, not our mind, but our spirit. And God uses our own spirit to guide us. So how to train your spirit? I'm going to share four things with you on this episode that will help you in training your spirit. The first one is this: meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Now, meditating is different than just reading. It's even different than studying. To meditate on the Word of God. It speaks to knowing. When you really focus on the Word and you labor on it in thought, you personalize it. It speaks to knowing. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the scripture says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. So in other words, there is a relationship between meditating on God's Word and obeying everything written in it. So meditating on it speaks of knowing. Think about this. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's in the knowing, in the experiential knowing and understanding of truth in the Word of God, that we're set free. And in the meditating is in the knowing, and it's a key to actually obeying everything written in God's Word. He goes on to say, this is Joshua 1:8, only then will you prosper and succeed. I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. That's powerful. The New King James says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So this is God's instruction to Joshua, actually, for leading a nation. God is instructing Joshua in how to be successful in leading a nation. And what he says to him is, meditate on this book of instruction, obey everything in it, and if you do, you're going to succeed in all you do. He's telling him, don't let it depart from your mouth. May it ever be present on your lips to speak it. So try it. Try meditating on his Word. Meditation is not like, you know, sitting Indian style and humming. A word that comes from meditation is actually ruminate, like a cow chewing its cud, swallowing, digesting, bringing it back up, chewing, ruminating. It's to consider the Word, consider the profundity of what the Word is saying, consider its application for your life, consider the meaning of it for life and for one personally. Take 10 minutes every day and begin the development of your spirit by meditating on the Word of God. I know from personal experience, when I'm just reading God's Word, I can breeze through it and knock out a few chapters without ever really considering the reality and the truth of what I'm reading. So I would encourage you, just take 10 minutes every day and begin developing your spirit through the meditation of God's Word. It's powerful. It's significant. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Many people, they just think that living the Christian life only has benefits in the life to come. But the Apostle Paul is saying that training for godliness promises benefits not only in the life to come, but in this life as well. So training for godliness, spending the time, it's powerful, it's profitable. I spend time in prayer and fasting. I spend time in preparation for going and conducting large gospel crusades, evangelistic events, and different things like that. And I've come to the place and the realization that preparation is not just preparing lessons and sermons, and it's not just fasting and praying, but preparation is just spending time in God's Word, in meditation, allowing the Spirit of God to reveal truth to me. And bring application into my life. And that is training that's just as valuable, in fact, more valuable than the time that I spend in God's Word developing sermons and teachings and those kinds of things. So number one, in training your spirit, is meditate on the Word of God. Number two, practice the Word of God. Practice the Word of God. We're encouraged by James in James 1:22. He said, don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. The King James says, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the Word. So practicing the Word of God or being a doer of the Word of God speaks of application. It's application to my life, and it's application in and through my life. Think about the greatest commandment. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? That was in Matthew chapter 22. I'm just going to turn there and read it real quick. And he said, you know, basically, love the Lord your God with all you've got. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. They said to him, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and prophets. Now, just think about this great commandment of loving the Lord with everything you've got, with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then loving your neighbor as yourself. Remember, we're practicing the Word of God. And practice speaks to the application of God's Word to your life and through your life. And practicing the Word of God changes everything. What if we meditated on this scripture, on this the greatest commandment? What if we meditated on it to begin to understand all of its applications for our life? And then from that meditation, we began doing it, actually applying it. How would that change your life? How would it change your life if you actually loved God with everything you had? That means that it would change what you do, when you do it, and how you do it. It would transform the things that you do, maybe out of discipline or routine, into acts of worship. Suddenly, you know, going to church, sharing the love of God with someone. What about when you are irritated with someone and you're losing patience, and instead of responding out of that place, you choose to love that person? Remember, the second commandment, he said, is like the first one, love your neighbor as yourself. What if we lived in all of our relationships loving and honoring and preferring others before ourselves? You see, it's transformative. And practicing the Word of God would change everything. When someone frustrates me and I want to respond out of that place in the flesh, but instead I stop and I choose to love them and respond out of a place of the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Practicing the Word of God changes everything. In Philippians chapter 4, we're just going to look at another example of practicing the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Most people focus on verse 7 rather than verse 6. Verse 7 is the outcome or the byproduct. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Everyone wants the peace of God, right? To guard our hearts and our minds, a peace that surpasses all understanding. But what's the key? It's practicing verse six, the first part, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If we practice verse 6, we'll have verse 7. Or in verse, if you want verse 7, which is this peace of God that surpasses all understanding in your life, you have to practice verse 6, right? Being anxious for nothing, but in my anxiousness, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I take my requests to the Lord. Those are examples of practicing the Word of God. So you meditate on the Word of God, which speaks of knowing. Then you practice the Word of God, which speaks of application. And then number three, give the Word of God first place. That speaks of priority. Give the Word first place. I'm not talking about, you know, religious duty and piety. I'm just saying, in the priority of your life, give the Word first place. That's first place in, like, your agenda, your daily agenda. Give the Word first place. Give the Word first place in your thought. And give it first place in your life. You do that by meditating on it and practicing it. But the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, he said, "My child, pay attention to what I say." What is that? That's giving the Word first place. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. That's how you give the Word first place. Pay attention. Listen carefully. Then he says in verse 21, don't lose sight of them. In other words, keep the Word near to you. And he goes on to say in verse 21, let these words penetrate deep into your heart. How do we do that? Meditate, right? We read the Word. We meditate on the Word. We practice the Word. And we give the Word first place in our lives. There's so many voices that vie for our attention. Spouses and children and parents and siblings vying for our attention. The television, the smartphone, the iPad, the internet, friends, people in the workplace, bosses, customers. So many voices that vie for our attention. And an essential part of training your spirit is, as a choice, as an act of the will, training your spirit by giving God's Word preeminence, first place, priority. The King James says, you know, where the New Living says, pay attention and listen and let it penetrate. The King James says, listen, read, memorize. Verse 21 says, don't lose sight of them. How do you ensure that you don't lose sight of God's words? Memorize them. So that you always have them. When you do these three things, pay attention, listen, let them penetrate deep into your heart, then verse 22 will be yours. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. So let me read these three verses together. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Give the Word of God first place. And lastly, and I don't know which of these four would challenge you the most, but I'm going to go with this fourth one. Instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Instantly obey the voice of your spirit. This speaks to urgency. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Instantly obey the voice of your spirit. The human spirit has a voice. It's our conscience. Some people call it intuition or inner voice or an inner knowing. That's the voice of the human spirit. And every man's spirit has a voice, whether he's saved or unsaved. But the new birth is a rebirth of the human spirit. And your spirit gets information as you meditate on the Word. So it's critical to obey your renewed spirit. Remember, God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How do we do that? From the Word of God. Because the Word is truth. So your spirit has the life and nature of God in it. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The devil is outside of you. That's why you train what is inside of you to have victory over that which is outside of you. Jesus said in John 10, 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Think of John 10, 27 in light of this fourth point, which is instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." That's the instantly obeying the voice of your spirit. You have to get in the habit of instantly obeying it because the devil is very limited in his power, contrary to what many people say and think. But what he has in his toolbox, if you will, he's very good at. He's good at whispering lies in your ear, whispering thoughts of doubt and confusion to try to get you to become discouraged about what you heard or about what you're going to do, and it's to talk you out of God's plan and purpose for your life and God's blessing for your life. That's why it's so important to instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Just don't even give the enemy time to play his games. You see, God isn't in your head. He's not in your reasoning faculties. That's the devil's playground. He's in your spirit. And your spirit gets information from him. So set your heart to instantly obey your spirit, the voice of your spirit. As your spirit is trained in the Word, it becomes safe. It becomes a safe and reliable guide. And that's why we have to train our spirit to come to preeminence within us over the soul and over the body. as we learn to obey the voice of our spirit, we'll come to the place where we can know what we should do in all phases of life. The Proverbs writer said in Proverbs 3:6, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So that's it. Meditate on the Word of God. This is how you train your spirit. Practice the Word of God. Give the Word of God first place, and instantly obey the voice of your spirit. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And in actuality, the first time that you hear God is when he's calling you to salvation. No man has ever been saved without hearing the voice of God. At that point, few of us actually recognize that that's the voice of God. But he's calling you. He's drawing you. Jesus said no one comes to him unless the Father draws him. He does that. So the very first time you hear God is when he's calling you to salvation. Have you heard God? Do you have a distinct memory in your history where you responded by faith to the invitation of salvation? I want to give you the opportunity to do that as we come to the close of this episode. You see, God is holy by nature, and we're sinful by nature. We're born into a condition of sin. The Bible says that we were shaped in iniquity. But God took the initiative to remedy our condition. He sent his only son, Jesus, who died on a cross to bridge the gap between the holiness of God and the unholiness of man. And all you have to do is recognize that you've sinned, repent of that sin, and receive by faith the free gift of salvation offered through Jesus Christ. Recognize. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the reality is everyone has sinned, whether we recognize it or not, be it big or small sins in the eyes of man. Sin is what kills us. And sin is what kills those around us. And the only way to peace is through faith in Jesus Christ. Once you're willing to come to terms with your sin, now you can repent of that sin. Jesus said, "And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God." To repent simply means to change your mind, change your direction, change your lifestyle. It's to turn from a life of sin unto a new life in Christ, a life of salvation, forgiveness of sins, in walking in a new way with Christ. And then the only thing that's left to do is receive. By faith, just commit your heart to him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to offer a simple prayer of salvation. This prayer encompasses all three of these steps: to recognize, repent, and receive. And if you'll repeat this prayer after me from a place of sincerity in your heart, you can respond to the voice of God and set your entire course on a new path, one of abundant life. Jesus said, "The thief or Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you would have life and have it abundantly." This is the first step in the abundant life. Would you pray this prayer after me? Let's do it right now. Say, "Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sins and he rose from the grave to give me victory over sin and death. I confess my sinfulness. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and make me a new person. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you prayed that prayer together with me, you called on the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's word, you are saved. You're born again. And you're on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart. And if you prayed that prayer with me, go to my website at revivalnow.com. Revivalnow.com. You'll find a big red button on the front page of the website that says, I just got saved. Click that button and it'll take you to a place where you can view some video resources that I've prepared for you to help you get started in your Christian life. And there's also a place for you to fill out your contact information. And if you'll do that, I'll do two things. I'm going to send some resources to you to help you get started in your Christian life. And I'm going to pray for you by name because now I'm going to know who you are. So go to revivalnow.com, click Invest Now, and follow the prompts from there so that we can be a blessing to you and support you in your new life in Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode talking about how to train your spirit. I trust that it's been a blessing to you. It's always a blessing to me every time I have the opportunity to get in God's Word and to share truth and life from that Word. So thank you and God bless you. One thing you can do for me, share this podcast with your friends. And that'll help us get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible. I thank you so much for that. Until next time, be blessed in Jesus' name.